Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Twinkies is one of BET's big new offerings this year, off to an acclaimed start this spring, and set to return in 2021. Co-star Ashley Haynes joins me next from Los Angeles. Part 2 of our North Fork TV Festival 2020 preview follows next half hour. We heard from the organizers Monday. Today, it's the pilot creator's turn. Nee Bolite from Slayed by Divya and Maya Albanese from Freeze. And what would this episode be without covering yet another new channel running on smart TV sets or connecting devices? For this go-round, the stage goes to Video Elephant TV with a wide, wide world view. More later from executive Stacey Anthony. Also ahead, next-gen TV rolls on and out, our classic trivia question, Up Revisits Raised by Wolves, and a spooky show to know. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker Internet Radio, and presented on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. Happy Friday afternoon to all of you, and welcome to the program all about TV's current and future. Gorgeous day here in the Big Apple, 68 degrees at the top of the hour. We have wonderful guests all from L.A., and they're all waiting to hear from you. So pick up the phone, dial in, and be interactive with us. The phone number to use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. If you're shy about using the phone, that is no problem with us, because we got a chat room ready to go for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook, Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, to your speaker screen. Follow the instructions of the people live with you. I'm Haynes from Twinkies on BET, live from L.A., after these news notes. Local television stations are continuing to band collectively and deploy next-gen TV, or ATSC 3.0, that's advanced services infrastructure in their markets. Austin, Texas, and Oklahoma City are the latest rollout areas, bringing the total to 13 nationwide. Next-gen TV opens the pipeline for stations offering more multicast channels, internet-distributed content, interactive services, and emergency alerts. The rollout movement is expected to increase over the next 2 months and cover all major U.S. cities at the end of 2021. Now to quickies, Animal Planet begins a new BBC series, Beast Kept Secrets, tonight. More BBC developments, The Watch, the fantasy series headed for BBC America, will be starting there January 3rd. Billy Piper starring dramedy I Hate Susie has a U.S. home, HBO Max. American Gods executive producer Michael Green is Netflix's newest TV series developer. First up from him there, Toon Adventure, Blue Eye Samurai. And Steve Carell will remain with the morning show for the Apple TV Plus series second season, expected next year. And that is news notes for today. And now, joining us live from Los Angeles, our first guest from there this Friday afternoon, is the co-star of the very popular BET dramedy from Lena Waithe's Twinkies, Ashley Haynes. Ashley, welcome aboard.
Hi, thank you, Simon. How are you today?
Doing great, and great particularly to have you aboard. And congratulations to you, Aline, and everybody on 20s. What's it been like to be part of that roller coaster?
Thank you. It's been really a dream come true, honestly. I can't tell you how long I'd been praying to work with Lena. Like, that was just such an incredible experience, and everyone on the show was just so brilliant and funny and amazingly talented. It's been great. It's been a great ride.
Tell us about the role you play on Twinkies, and how did you get it?
So I play Courtney, who is Hattie's work nemesis. Hattie's the main character, played by Jonica T. Gibbs. And so basically, Jonica comes into this to You Go Girl Productions. We work in the production office, and she's the one that got the job that I was up for. So I can't stand her, and we have this really interesting kind of like rapport where it's interesting. I make it clear that I dislike Hattie. But it's fun. And how I got the role, I auditioned for it. Yeah, it was really that simple. Like, I ended up, I was actually working at the time of the audition. Like, I had booked another gig, so I couldn't go into the office. And I put myself on tape. And any actor knows that, you know, putting yourself on tape, I mean, pre-COVID, right? So putting yourself on tape, you run the risk of no one even looking at it, really. It's like, oh, I'm taping this, and then it's going to disappear into the abyss. And so I put myself on tape, sent it into my manager, hadn't heard anything for, like, I think 2 weeks, so I just assumed that I didn't get it. And then I got the call, and I was thrilled. There was, like, I had booked it, you know. There was no callback or anything. So that was great, a really pleasant surprise.
And once you got the role, did Lena give you any ideas about how to play the nemesis of a coworker, or did she just let you, like, do your thing, I'll feed the lines and make them work for you?
It's funny because Lena actually is very hands-on. She spent a lot of time on set, and, you know, but, like, at one point there was a time when she actually, like, started rewriting lines, you know what I mean? Like, and just came on set and was like, okay, you say this, you say this, you say this kind of thing. And that was really cool. And it kind of keeps you on your toes too, because, I mean, Lena, she's a genius, and she's incredibly talented and gifted, and she has this presence about her and this reputation. And so, you know, me, being that it was my first time working with her, and how much respect I had for her already prior to working with her, I actually felt kind of intimidated. Like, I was nervous. Like, I just kept saying to myself, don't fuck this up, don't fuck this up. But for the most part, what I really enjoyed about that set is that we were all just given this room to play and explore our characters and bring what we brought, which is really fun, and it kept it fresh. So I think there was a combination of both.
What kind of feedback have you and your fellow actors on this series gotten about 20s? It took off this year, and it's been flying ever since. I'm sure that the first season is now on BET Plus, so people can see it if they didn't see it the first time on BET. What kind of feedback have you gotten from, and you and your fellow actors have gotten from working on 20s?
Oh, we've gotten so much amazing feedback. It's been incredible. Showtime actually picked it up as well, so you can see it on BET and Showtime, which is great and was a completely unexpected surprise, at least by me anyway. But everyone loves the show. It's groundbreaking. It's the first primetime television show to star a masculine presenting lesbian as a lead. And so, I mean, really, most of the feedback I've gotten is that people are just so grateful to see something like this, like a show that actually captures real life and with humor, you know what I mean? And, like, the writing is just so poignant and fun and interesting and very relevant for today. So I think 20s definitely fills a spot that fills a void that had existed prior to its existence.
Ashley Haynes is one of the co-stars of 20s, the hit series that starred on BET, also running on Showtime, and also right now on BET Plus as well, while awaiting a second season in 2021. And Ashley is who you're hearing this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, joining us live from Los Angeles, coming out about from the other side of the U.S. of A in New York, where it's 68 degrees at the top of the hour. And we're both glad to be with you this Friday on the program All About Television. And we want you involved in the conversation, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We got Big Night Edition again coming your way on Columbus Day. That's next Monday, and we got a great lineup for you. First up, from ABC's new revival of Supermarket Sweep, starting a week from Sunday in prime time, we will have two of the key executive producers of the series live and exclusive, Alicia Rossiter and Wes Cobble. And then we'll meet a former executive with places like Fox, who is doing a lot of stuff in the world of diversity. He is a strategist and researcher. His name is Steve LeBlanc. I think you'll really enjoy meeting him. And finally, we will go live to Chicago, where one of the top radio stations in that city is now a TV national player with a new service called Bond TV that started this week. We'll speak with the person behind Midway Broadcasting and radio station WBON. Her name is Melody Cooper. She's the chairman and chief executive of that company and Bond TV. And you will hear her Monday. That's all coming up. 3 News and News at Columbus Day, live right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Actually, what is it like to work with Lena, somebody who has the ability to juggle so many series at once? She's got The Chi, which is also going into its fourth season on Showtime next year. She's got 20s. She's working on other projects as well. Of course, we know her from being the Emmy winner for writing Master of None, the Netflix series with Aziz Ansari. What's it like to work with her?
I mean, Lena's great. She's really funny. She's very grounded. She's just got this clear vision. She knows what she wants. So, and she's great at communicating that. So, and she's also great at, like, leading a ship. You know what I mean? Like, if you just think of a captain and his ship and how there are so many moving parts to a production. And, like, one of the things I love so much about her is that she's provided so many opportunities to underrepresented people and people who may not have gotten a shot, or at least they wouldn't have gotten a shot at the time that they had if she hadn't been willing to see their talents and hire them just based on that alone. So yeah, working with Lena is incredible. It's a breath of fresh air, and I just hope so many more people follow her lead.
Mm-hmm. What's been your road to 20s? What did you do either on television or in other places before getting the role?
So before 20s, I was on a few episodes of a show called You're the Worst that aired on FXX. I was a lead in this project called Leimert Park that was produced by Macro, who's a production company led by Charles D. King, that also produced Fences and Mudbound, and their films are actually more well known than their other projects. I think right now they have a show on Netflix called Raising Dion or something like that. And then it was also produced by Homegrown Pictures, which is a production indie production company led by Stephanie Elaine, who discovered John Singleton with Boys in the Hood. But anyway, Homegrown Pictures is basically known for Dear White People, the film and the Netflix show. So yeah, that little project called Leimert Park, which was a really incredible experience. It actually brought me to Sundance for the first time, which was a dream come true. I was a lead in that. And then, indie projects here and there, television parts here and there. I had a small part on This Is Us, True Detective, and I can't, it's all been such a blur, really, these last few years. But I was definitely a working actress. But I do feel like 20s is absolutely my biggest, most well-known project yet, or my biggest role in a well-known project so far.
I'm happy you mentioned Macro, because we've been following that company from the start. We had Charles King, in fact, on our very program a number of years ago.
Oh, wow.
As he was getting underway. And he has done a lot of great work. You mentioned Fences. You mentioned also some of the other movie work he's done. He also does a series called Gentrified on Netflix, which is going into its second season and critically acclaimed. And I'm curious, what was it like doing Leimert Park? Is there a possibility that that series might become a television series at some point?
Well, I mean, I for sure hope so, because it was so freaking good. But working on that production was amazing. Charles is amazing and a visionary, and just the initiative he's taken to create Macro, that production company, to particularly give underrepresented voices a platform is just an incredible feat. He's an amazing, such an important person. But Leimert Park was great, and I believe there is a possibility that it could possibly still become a television series. We actually shot Leimert Park on the tail end of them completing Hentified, so who knows? really. You know, if Pentified got picked up by Netflix, who knows what would happen with Lemert Park. So we'll see. Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah. And they've been making some moves lately in terms of expanding their television output. So I have a hunch that in 2021 you're going to be seeing Macro do a lot more in television. I know Charles has been out to do that from the start, and we'll see. We'd love to have Charles back on, by the way. And if you haven't seen Gentrified on Netflix, please do. It's an outstanding show, and I'm happy it's going into a second season with Macro at the helm in terms of putting that show together. Actually, what's it looking like in terms of the second season for 20s? How far along is everybody into getting it together? And how is the pandemic affecting when it's going to get filmed?
Right. I mean, well, the pandemic has actually hugely impacted production. We were supposed to shoot this year, and then COVID happened, and so it got pushed to next year. So we absolutely will be shooting the second season next year. It's happening. But, you know, given the unknown circumstances and really just the unknown period, it's like I can't give a definitive answer on exactly when everything will happen, unfortunately.
And until you get the go to come back on 20s, have you booked any guest shots elsewhere on television, or looked at maybe doing a recurring guest arc, let's say, somewhere?
I am a recurring guest star on 20s. As far as anything else, I mean, I've been auditioning, so I suppose it's only a matter of time. But you'll definitely catch me on the second season of 20s for sure.
And in a moment, we're going to talk about a side business that Ashley is into that I think you'll find quite interesting. So that is coming up shortly. Ashley Haynes is our guest this half hour on Suave Televised. She is the co-star of Twinsies, the very popular BET drama from Lena Waithe. Great first season. The reruns are now on Showtime, and they're also on BET Plus, which is the mega programming service with over 1,000 hours of programming from BET and other places as well. If you haven't checked it out, please do. In fact, it just launched its just marked its first anniversary last month. And after you join us live from Los Angeles this half hour, on Tomorrow will be televised. Coming up, I'm with you from New York. It is 68 degrees at the top of the hour. Absolutely gorgeous day to wrap the week up. We hope wherever you are, you're wrapping the week up in great shape. And we invite you to be part of the program in our remaining minutes with Ashley. Just give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, TimeAndApple04 by name. And coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. Last time we were offering on this program, so get your thinking caps on, because you can win a trio of prizes if you have the correct answer. So, Ashley, I understand that for a while, you have had a very interesting side business involving candles.
Oh, yeah. So I make intentional candles. My business is called Star Magic by Ashley, and every candle has crystals, intentional oil that I batch on the full moon and rest for one moon cycle, and organic herbs. So they're really special, and basically an intentional candle is the perfect manifestation aid to call in your heart's desires, whether that's peace of mind, abundance, love, protection, or I also have a customized candle option as well. So basically anyone who needs a little help setting intention and bringing a little magic into their lives can just message me and inquire about purchasing a customized option.
So how do you get inspired to making this product? Was it by accident, or had you thought about this for a while? What caused it?
I'd actually thought about it for a while. It's funny because I unintentionally started, well, was kind of thrown into my own spiritual healing, self-love journey at the beginning of 2016. And that, I mean, no, not 2016, 2018, sorry. And that year was just really cathartic in a lot of ways. But eventually I found my own like daily spiritual grounding practice where I would meditate and pray and say my gratitudes and do positive affirmations and journal and read books like A Course in Miracles. And in doing that, in finding my grounding practice, I developed a sense of, or I at least, I wouldn't say developed, but I definitely discovered my own intuition and intuitive abilities. I discovered tarot, and then eventually I started having literal visions of my candles. Not just visions of these candles, but visions of how to make them. And I'm like, and I just, like, they wouldn't go away. It's like, I wouldn't even have to meditate to have these visions. I can literally be having a conversation about anything, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing myself making these candles. So I'm like, okay, I guess this is something that I need to do. And that's how it all started. That's basically how it all started.
How do you make these candles? How long does it take to make one of these? Are you able to mass produce them for people around the country? How does the process work?
Well, my candles are handmade and they're made to order. So I have yet to the way to mass produce them. And honestly, I don't really have an interest in mass producing them because they are very special and they do take a lot of time to make. It's a multi-step process where I first have to make the outer shell. So basically when you light the candles, they're 4 inches wide, so pillar candles, but when you burn them, only the inside melts. So there are actually two different layers. So I make the outer layer, and then I fill them with the magical layer inside. And the candles have crystals in the face of them. So I have a little technique as to how I put the stones in the face of the candle rather than resting them on top. And yeah, it takes me 2 days just to complete the process of making them. I can make multiple at a time, but
go ahead.
No, I was saying I can make multiple at a time, but I can't, it's not wise anyway to make more than, I would say, 10 at a time, but it would take me like 2 to 3 days from start to finish.
Well, we're coming up, you know, actually in the holiday season. You know, we got Halloween, we got Thanksgiving, we have Christmas, almost, and Hanukkah almost all in a row. Do you think you can get an upcoming business?
Do I think I can what? I'm sorry.
Do you think you're going to get an increase in business, an increase in people are questioning,
oh,
hey, I love these candles, it's holiday season ahead, let's order now.
Absolutely. I do anticipate getting an increase in business, especially for the holiday season. So, but I have an idea of how I can prepare for that. So I'm not actually worried for the increase in sales.
No. Have you started to talk with Lena and your castmates and the writers and directors about what 20s will be like in the second season, what your character will be like? What can people expect?
Right. Well, so that's the thing. We were actually scheduled to have a read-through of all of the episodes for the second season in August, but again, because of COVID, it was pushed, so we didn't even have that. So I haven't even seen the scripts for the second season, so I can't tell you. But what I can tell you to expect, that you can absolutely expect, more laughs, more envelope pushing, more peeling back the layers of what people don't want to talk about and what a lot of us consider to be taboo, but presented in a very craftful, funny, enlightening way. So I just stay open.
By the way, that's kind of nice to have all the scripts ready to go when you do get that table read, as opposed to, you know, you film one episode at a time and you get the script for that episode, as it is in a lot of other places, you know, the one at a time approach rather than get it all together.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's how the first season was as well. Like obviously there are rewrites along the way, but, you know, when we shot the first season, we actually shot the episodes in blocks, like 2 to 3 at a time. So, like I said, the whole experience was really, it moved like a well-oiled machine, which was so, I mean, it was impressive, especially considering it was like a first time for a lot of us involved.
The name of the series is 20s from Emmy Award winner Lena Waithe, and you can catch 20s, the second season, next year on BET. You can get the episodes of the first season on Showtime and also on BET Plus, which is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And, of course, when 20s is getting ready to go back to second season, check your local news where BET is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the phone online, here's where you go, www.bet.com. That's www.bet.com. 20s from Lena Waithe. Coming back, season 2 in 2021. And so is, by the way, season 4 of The Chi on Showtime. Ashley Haynes, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard this half hour. Congratulations to you, Lena, everybody involved for a great first year, and looking forward to more and more years to come starting next. It's been delightful having you on. I hope everything goes great for you.
Thank you so much, Simon. It was really fun.
Same here. And of course, best of luck to the candle business, too. I hope it continues to succeed for you and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the year and a great starting with a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Ashley Haynes from 20s on BET, joining us live from Los Angeles. Our classic trivia question coming your way, but first some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. All right, my Mariah Carey fans, there's an audiobook right now that you can get through Audible.com. It's The Meaning of Mariah Carey, her long-awaited autobiography, and she herself narrates it. And you can get it right now if you go for a trial run with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. And all you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, like The Meaning of Mariah Carey, which she self-narrates, or healthy wellness material, and much, much more. And that one-month trial, by the way, includes great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, if you are already an Amazon Prime customer, you get two audiobooks, not just one, two. And that choice could also include one from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great one-woman and one-man performances. All for you. So remember, if you want that trial run, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. It makes a great gift for someone you know or someone you love, as well as yourself, whether it is over this weekend for a birthday or anniversary or for the holiday season ahead. audibletrial.com/televised. And find out how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Last time we offered for the last week and a half, and it deals with the 40th anniversary of Entertainment Tonight. Here's the question. Name two of Entertainment Tonight's three original hosts back in 1980. Name two of Entertainment Tonight's three original hosts back in 1980. And if you are first with the correct answer, we have a trio of prizes for you. We have episodes of Fish Tank Kings from Nat Geo Wild, and we have two best-selling books, Becoming Ginger Rogers, How Ballroom Dancing Made Me a Happier Woman, Better Partner, and Smarter CEO by Patrice Tanaka, published by Barbella. And we have the new book, about what's going on with Comedy Central, called Constant Comedy by Art Bell, the former Comedy Central executive who was on this program several weeks ago. What you got to do to win all three, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're emailing from along with the correct answer. And if we don't get an answer by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Simon Applebaum on Facebook, and on Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Let's see if we get that winner today or during the weekend. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. And if you won before, please let someone else have their shot. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Use that email today, and goodness knows, by Monday, you could be our next Classic Trivia winner. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We have the program All About the Two. Happy to have you with us. We're on Mondays and Fridays, sometimes other days too. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We're also available on podcast on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And remember, if you catch up on today, you want to catch up on recent episodes, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can do so 24/7. When we come back, our second peek at the North Fork TV Festival, which is happening a week from tomorrow in Long Island. We've got the two pilot makers you will hear from, that's Need Belite and Maya Albanese, and they're both going to fly from L.A. You'll hear them after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com. altogether, reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the ongoing coronavirus news channel. Get the latest reports on the pandemic from all around the world, plus podcasts and other special material. The coronavirus news channel, 24/7 only, at TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more Tomorrow's Televised on this Friday afternoon of October 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 63 top of the hour. More great guests coming your way in the hour ahead. And as always, we invite you to be part of the program. So simple, call in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On Monday, we have the organizers of the North Fork TV Festival on this very program talking about their event, which is coming up a week from Saturday. Yes, it is happening live, drive-in style, on Long Island. And it may end up being the only television festival to happen here in the New York metropolitan area. Well, today, we're going to bring you the two pilot creators who are going to get that showcase next Saturday. They're both live from Los Angeles at this hour. Joining us first, her pilot is called Played by Divya, and her name is Nee Delite. Nee, welcome in.
Hi there. How's it going, Simon?
Very, very well, thank you. We're happy to have you aboard. And our second pilot maker, the pilot is called Freeze, and her name is Maya Albanese. Maya, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. And Nee, we'll start with you. What's it been like to know that next Saturday night your pilot is going to get screened? It's going to screen live, not virtual, and it may have a great crowd watching it.
I'm just overjoyed. I feel really lucky. North Fork has created a fantastic opportunity for pilots to get seen, and you know, it's a really rare thing to have a festival focused on TV pilots, so I'm just super excited to share it with more people and get their feedback.
And Maya, this is a very unusual situation because in most TV festivals, you are competing at the festival against other pilots that get screened, and then they announce who wins. But in this case, the competition is all set to go, is all done, and you're free and clear, along with Nee, to make it happen.
Yeah. Sorry, with the question for me, with how...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Maya.
No, I mean, I'm super excited about that. I think it's a really unique festival, and I kind of love that this year is a unique format with the drive-in event. Obviously, there's constraints of being at film festivals in 2020, but I think North Fork's made something really cool out of the constraints.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into your pilots, and then we'll start with you. Talk about Slayed by Divya. Very interesting title. What's it all about?
So Slayed by Divya is it's about a mobile hairstylist named Divya, and it deals with her quest to launch her own hair products. Not sure if you're familiar with mobile hairstyling, but pretty much she's a independent contractor who just goes to her clients' homes and provides hair services. And the pilot deals with, you know, her quest to launch her hair brand, and also she lands a celebrity client who delivers a surprise.
Hmm. Was this inspired by a personal incident, or was it inspired by a show like Claws, the popular TNT series that deals with women in nail salons involved with organized crime and other crazy things down in Miami?
You know what? It's definitely lighter than that. I would say it was more inspired by my own experience as a client and what I observed of the stylists. Like, I just amazed at how great they were, how dynamic they were as businesswomen and creative artists. So I just wanted to write something based on my experiences as a client with so many mobile hairstylists in LA and New York.
Maya, for you, what's the origin behind Freeze?
Well, Freeze is definitely the most honest film I've ever made. I really just pulled it straight from my life and put it onto the page when I wrote it. You know, it's about a woman, a 30-something woman's experience navigating the world and balancing desires for their career and their personal life and having a family all at once in our modern era of so much choice. And I'm definitely, you know, in that situation myself and wanted to create it as a fun and entertaining way to translate that experience to the screen, and also, you know, catharsis for all the women out there and the collective female experience. So it's definitely, you know, inspired right from my own navigation of the world.
Mm. And what makes it honest for you? What makes it authentic for you?
That's a great question. It's the most authentic film I've ever made for a couple reasons. One is I literally just wrote it with my own sense of humor, and I didn't think about what's funny to other people or what would sell or get funded. I really just wrote it as an exercise of catharsis, not knowing it would ever get made. And so what I ended up with was a film that has a kind of a specific point of view and tone and sense of humor that's all my own. And it turns out that that's something people really respond to. And so much to my surprise, you know, it did get made and funded and everything. And I just was so thrilled because, like I said, it was just such an honest process writing it. And to see it on a big screen now is like something I didn't anticipate that I'm so thrilled about.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with the two series pilot makers who will be showcased a week from tomorrow at Norfolk TV Festival No. 5, 2020 edition, Drive Inversion in Long Island. And that's Nida Lee. Her pilot is called Slayed by Divya. And we have Maya Albanese. Her pilot is called Freeze. Also being showcased is a pilot we talked about on Monday's episode with the organizers. It's called Super User Do. It's the winner of the annual Albert P. Sloan Foundation-funded Science Technology Pilot Award. And again, that's all taking place a week from tomorrow in Long Island. And me and Maya are both with us live this half hour on Tamari Televised from L.A. Simon, I'm with you live from NYC. 68 degrees at the top of the hour. We want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Just came into the program. We got a big one coming your way at Columbus Day Monday. Starting off with the executive producers behind the new Supermarket Sweep Revival on ABC, Week from Sunday, hosted by Leslie Jones, Alicia Rossiter, and Wes Cobble. I promise you, it's going to be a big one. Plus, you'll meet a former network executive who's doing a lot of the work in diversity lately with shows like The Revival of One Day at a Time from Norman Lear. His name is Steve LeBlanc, and he's got some very neat things to say about where diversity is at in TV and beyond. Plus, there's a Chicago radio station very popular called WBON. This week, they launched a new national programming service on television called Bond.TV. It's from a company called Midway Broadcasting. And on Monday, we'll go live in Chicago to meet its chief overseer, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, Melody Cooper. That's all coming up Monday, live Columbus Day, 3 days in the Pacific here, and exclusive on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Nee, what has been your career road to this point? Is this the first time you've attempted a series pilot you created? Did this come out? Have you done it before and got rejected? But what's your career path to this point?
Yeah, sure. So this is actually my screenwriting and producing debut. Prior to that, I was pursuing acting, and I did short films and projects in New York. But, I mean, this is the – of this magnitude, this is the, you know – most quality thing I've ever produced and written, and this is the first time I've ever entered festivals, so this has been a very exciting experience for me to put myself out there as a writer and producer and also get to star in it as well.
Mm-hmm. And Maya, what about your career road to this?
Oh, it's been a long road. Lots of twists and turns. I've always done some form of artistic endeavor and sort of intersection of activism, art, and business. You know, everything from doing sustainability in a big company to managing a nonprofit that did sustainability work. And I was a freelance journalist for many years in addition to just being a visual artist. And I started to realize that storytelling was, you know, my favorite thing I was doing. And so I amassed a portfolio and ended up going to Columbia University in New York for a documentary filmmaking master's degree and made documentaries, then became a commercial director. And now, you know, I'm just a director and loving it out in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Maya, we'll start with you on this. How long did it take to pull your pilot together, get your cast together, film it, and where did you film it?
It all happened so fast, I have to say. I wrote it over the summer, and then in the fall I showed it to a producer. We raised the money over a couple months, started casting, and by January we shot it. So it, you know, it was a, let's say, a 6-month process. And we shot it in LA, all the cast and crews based in Los Angeles. And obviously the caliber of talent available out here is really exceptional, which is reflected in the cast we got. So it was really a total whirlwind, the process, and really fun.
Mm-hmm. Any similar or different road with your pilot?
Once the script was locked, I would have to say, like Maya, it happened very quickly. It was actually produced by me and Max Carlton, who's also the director and co-producer and also my boyfriend. And we produced the project together, and it took about a month to lock everything, and then we shot everything in 3 days. So it was a pretty fast shoot, but we, you know, we were fortunate to have a really talented, skilled cast and crew so that we could pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Stay for a second. What's it like to do to pull this pile together in 3 days? Because normally it takes 6-7 days to do an episode of a television series.
Absolutely.
With that in mind, yeah. I mean, what's it like to do it in half the time?
Well, you know, budget was a consideration, but I think we could have probably used an extra day or two. But what we did do is we rehearsed beforehand, and then we just made sure to find a really strong, you know, improv like experienced cast that could roll with such a shoot. But yeah, we just made that decision early on, given you know, our window of time to get this done, and fortunately it all worked out. But I'm sure I'm not the first producer to kind of wish you had a little more time, but we were ambitious with that, and it worked out, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Maya, was that the same experience for Freeze, where you did it in, let's say, 2-3 days opposed to longer?
Oh, no. We have, you know, a cast of 10 people, and, you know, 10 different locations, and 26 VFX jobs. We shot ours in 5 days. I would say our shoot was probably more aligned with what a traditional pilot shoot would be like.
Mm-hmm. And because you directed this as well as wrote it, when you're talking with your cast members about how you want them to portray their characters, to get the authenticity, the honesty that you wanted on the screen, did you give them any advice, any ground rules, any sort of direction to take their characters?
Oh, well, for sure. I mean, that's directing is a lot about doing that. I think the main thing about Freeze is it's a satire. It's a dark satire. So in satire, you need to have two things is like heightened characters, so characters performing a little bit slightly over the top at times, and then also conflicting goals and needs of two characters in the scene. So, you know, one thing I might do is tell the man in the scene that this is what you want out of Joy, the woman, and tell the woman, Joy, this is what you want out of the man, and then go. And then a lot of the humor comes from the misalignment of their goals in the scene.
Mm-hmm. Nee, over the course of our program over the last 13-plus years, we've had numerous episodes with husband and wife teams, either writers or directors, or father-son, husband, mother-daughter, that kind of thing. When you're dealing with your boyfriend on a project like this, how do you work on and off? How do you work on the set so that you don't step over each other, that everybody's able to get their viewpoint across, and that you have a relationship, a working relationship, right, that works?
Yeah, so I think it really comes down to respect, seeing the process, respecting each other as, you know, professionals in our, like, arenas, but also really just, you know, respecting everyone else there and wanting to get the best work out of everyone. So I think once we started actually on set, you know, I kind of zoned in more as an actor, and I just wanted to do a great job, and this is something I've wanted my whole life, so I think that it was easy for us to just focus on our roles,
I think post-production was a little differently because, you know, there's differences in opinion, and I think that was probably more of a challenge to, you know, just kind of be fair to one another and just hear each other out. But I don't think that's necessarily, you know, that's something that wouldn't happen if I was just working with someone else. But we had a really great time. This is the first time we've worked together, and I mean, I think it went really well.
Mm-hmm. Explain, Maya, for your show, Freeze, the kind of satire that you were going for. Because it's, you know, I was watching recently Dr. Strangelove, the great film from Stanley Kubrick, which, you know, even though it deals with a very serious subject, like the possibility of nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union, it's very funny because it has that satiric approach. Like, these characters are, like, unbelievable, and yet they're being put in a very believable situation. So I'm curious, you know, what kind of satire you were going for in your pilot.
Yeah, I love satire. It's my favorite genre, and I think there's a whole spectrum of satire. There's, you know, Black Mirror, the show, one of my favorite shows, could be considered satire, and that's incredibly dark and dismal and dystopian at times. And then you've got satire that's, you know, Borat or, you know, something that goes really, really more broad comedy satire. And so the tone, the genre, you know, that I originally envisioned was what I call tragicomedy. So it has a little bit of like an operatic quality to it. And it's a little bit mopey. And this idea that things get so messed up, they're just ridiculous and funny. So there's a sadness in the funniness. And I think in that kind of satire, you can polarize an audience, which I'm totally fine with. Some people will watch the inciting incident scene and freeze and say, that's really sad. You know, and other people will watch it and laugh out loud. And so I think that's the beauty of satire, is it definitely has to have some darkness to it if it's going to be commentary.
I think you made Charlie Brooker's day today. So when he hears about this, I think he'll love you for it.
Okay, great.
We're speaking with the two pilot makers whose work you will see if you're in the Long Island area next Saturday night, Norfolk TV Festival 2020, live and in person via drive-in style. That's Nee Belite. Her pilot is called Slayed by Divya. And Maya Alanis, her pilot is called Freeze. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Second of two segments we're doing this week on Norfolk TV Festival, which we've covered from the start over the last 5 years. Time now we're with you live from New York, a few more minutes with both of our guests, and we want to hear from you. So take the time out, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up near the top of the hour, our latest edition of Up as an Update, where we catch up on guests and topics we have had on this program. Our subject today, Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. We have a very nice result for you out of the interview we did with its creator. If this pilot becomes a series, how do you see it work? Do you have like a Bible already in hand as to how you want your characters, your plot line to go?
Absolutely. We have several ideas of how we see things playing out, but definitely we want to see Divya get closer to really realizing her plans as a beauty brand mogul. And there's also another storyline with my character's younger brother and his music ambitions. So we're just really going to look closely at Divya and Sebastian's journeys towards their dreams. And then also, you know, we'll get to explore just more like serious themes of just Black entrepreneurship and Black ownership and being able to own your ideas. And I guess what Divya is willing to compromise dreams come true.
Okay. My same question for you about a future as a series for Freeze.
Yeah, definitely. We have high hopes for it to be made as a TV show and, you know, 30-minute comedy. It gets a little more, even more sort of high concept and surreal in the series concept. We're getting a lot of promotion and press and playing at a lot of festivals right now and, you know, hoping to kind of leverage that and move into shopping the series around town and getting it made. So we're looking for partners and really excited about it.
Yeah. And speaking about that, to continue that part of the conversation, more and more of these TV festivals, whether live or virtual, are drawing more and more people from the production communities, the networks like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, the mega performing services now like Apple TV Plus, BET Plus, HBO Max, Peacock, et cetera. And we have all these new television networks that are getting off the ground on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's an incredible tidal wave of services, one of which we will, by the way, showcase in our next half hour. With all those choices, who do you have? I'll start with you, Nia, about this. Who do you hope will show up next Saturday night to work with you, to consult with you? And is there a particular network that you would like to see that you think would be a perfect match for Slayed by Divya?
You know what? I would be grateful to hear anyone show interest, but I guess the streaming channels, the streaming networks, those are definitely, I think, the spaces where you're able to be more creative and take more risks. I love Netflix and Amazon as well as Hulu's programming. I think that I have a few producers in mind, like dream producer types that I think would be good matches for this project. But I mean, I'm just so enthusiastic for North Fork's support and just feeling very excited for the possibilities that are awaiting us.
Mm-hmm. Maya, what about you? What's it looking like for who you'd like to see take your program and run the ball with you on it?
Well, I agree that any interest is welcome. I'm just excited to pitch and meet with people. And, you know, I think a lot of it is about who you work with. So a lot of times when people are coming, I'm just looking for, you know, who do I want to spend the next couple of years making a show with? So, it's, you know, people and networks. But, yeah, certainly I agree also, like, you know, some of the comps for Freeze the Show are like Russian Doll and shows that are on Netflix and streamers, because it's a dark, surrealistic comedy with a high concept hook. So definitely feeling like, you know, some of these newer platforms are going to be the place where the show is most likely to flower. So, but like I said, I'm really excited for anyone who comes and whoever watches it. Thank you for taking interest.
Mm-hmm. Final question to both of you. One of the things that we are seeing is the ability for first-timers in television, series creators, to run the show. We just had on Stars alone two examples of that. Rebecca Cutter on Hightown, which has been renewed for a second season, and over the summer we had Katori Hall, the playwright, with P-Valley, which has turned out to be one of the breakout shows of the summer anywhere, and we had Brianna Evans, the star of the show, on our program several months ago. No question, she's the breakout star, one of the breakout stars of this year, and not just the summer, but this year, and P-Valley's gotten a second season. On Stars, you, with that in mind, are you optimistic that that in addition to a network or a service picking up the pilot, that you'll be able to run the show? You'll be able to not just create a series, but also, you know, be its showrunner, be its guiding force when it's produced for a network.
Sorry. You didn't say who could go first, so we both were, I guess, being polite here. I'll go first. I think that I could definitely see a first timer, like a woman maybe, who wants to run the show. But I myself, I feel like that would be a lot to take on. But I am so excited to hear about all these women who are showrunners for all these amazing shows. And I mean, half of our crew were women, as well as our cast. I would love to just, you know, continue keeping my creative team as diverse as possible, especially as a Black woman. I feel like it's a great privilege to be able to include as many people as I can. But I don't think I can run my show. Maybe Maya can run hers.
Maya, you get the last word.
Yeah, I think, I'm a director and a writer, and so I think it's unlikely that I would be the showrunner, write and direct and EP a show, just sheer minutes in the day. As we all know, there's often rules around someone doing that all of those roles. So the most important thing to me is to direct episodes of it and be a writer on it. So I'm definitely probably on this one going to be looking to hire a showrunner, and obviously Breeze is all about the female experience and female fertility, so it just seems apt that the showrunner would be a woman. Do I hope someday to be a showrunner and, you know, take that seat? Sure, definitely. But, you know, primarily I just want to be, you know, creative in forming the look, feel, style of the episodes through writing and directing.
Again, the pilots are played by Divya and Freeze, and also a pilot that won the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, the annual award given for science technology-oriented pilots. That pilot is called Super User 2, and that will also be showcased in different ways at the North Fork TV Festival, 5th Annual Edition 2020. That's next Saturday in Long Island, drive-in style. If you want more details about the festival online, go to www.northfork.tv. That's www.northfork.tv. And if you want to hear our episode for Monday, which included a conversation with the executive producer and creator of Super User Do, that is Kathleen Burke, all you got to do is go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or go to our various podcast sites, including Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. One more time, Norfolk TV Festival 2020, next Saturday night in Long Island. Need to leave. My Albanese, congratulations on getting the opportunity to have your pilot showcase there. All the very best to you and your work, no matter what happens. And we'd love to have you both back on if your pilots get turned into series.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Simon.
You're very, very welcome. Thanks for coming aboard. Have a fantastic weekend and have a great time next Saturday at the festival.
Thank you.
Nina Lee and Maya Albany joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And now it's time for our regular feature called Up, where we update you and catch up on some of the guests and topics we've had in this program. Last month, among our guests was Aaron Zizikowski. He is the creator and showrunner of Raised by Wolves. It's a program that has a very interesting history. Originally, when it was announced, from Ridley Scott's Scott production company, was going to go to TNT. But along the way, it got sidetracked to HBO Max, which is where it premiered last month, with Ridley Scott himself making his TV directing debut. While Al was on our show, we really enjoyed having him on, and as it turned out, Raised by Wolves has become one of the critically acclaimed shows this fall. This idea of children being raised by aliens and mutants has really caught the imagination of a lot of people, both critics and viewers alike. It has turned out to be HBO Max's maybe first signature show. And we're happy to tell you that 2 days ago, Aaron Zizikowski was given a program development deal with HBO Max. He'll stay on the program, but he'll also be developing additional series that will run exclusively on HBO Max. So, Aaron, congratulations. We're glad we have you on the show to talk about Raised by Wolves. We're happy with you for the great success you've had, and we're looking forward to seeing what new creations you've got up your sleeve there at HBO Max. And if you want more details about Raised by Wolves, which is still running on HBO Max, I mentioned, again, it's one of their top original series, go to www.hbomax.com. It's www.hbomax.com. And if you want to hear that interview we did with Aaron, again, it was from last month, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com, televised. Anyway, this is Tomorrow We Televise, the program all about the two. We're delighted to have you, and we're getting ready to come up on the top of the hour. And when we do, we will have joining us our latest new network running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And it's called Video Elephant TV, and Stacey Anthony, who is the head of the network, will join us live from Los Angeles. Once again, I want to remind you that coming up on Monday, Columbus Day, we are live and direct with you. We've got a great lineup for you from ABC's Supermarket Sweep Revival, hosted by Leslie Jones. It premieres a week from Sunday. We'll have executive producers Alicia Rossiter and Wes Cobble. Then former network executive turned diversity strategist and researcher Steve LeBlanc. And from the new network, Bomb.TV, that's the TV version of popular radio station WVON in Chicago, talk radio capital there. We'll have chairman and chief executive of WVM's parent, Midway Broadcasting, Melody Cooper. That's all coming up live and exclusive this Columbus Day Monday right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, we always love hearing from you. So if you have a thought about the world of television, where is that, where it's going, don't fail to email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. I do respond within 24 hours. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. When we come back, Stacey Anthony from Video Elephant TV, and we have a show to know. It's a very spooky one, and it's from Hulu, called Monsterland. That's all coming up as we pull at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com, and TuneIn Radio. Together, they reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, coming up next Monday, right here on Blog Talk Radio, it's Word of Mom Radio. This Word of Mom Radio coming your way Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Word of Mom Radio, a great show, lots of entertainment and good stuff for you. Word of Mom Radio, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best to be to our 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of this Friday afternoon edition of Tomorrow We Tell Live. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Apple with you live from New York. Terrific day here in the Big Apple, 58 degrees at the top of the hour. We welcome you again to another edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Great guests coming your way in the last 30 minutes of our show, and we invite you to be in the conversation. It's so simple. All you have to do is raise your voice, pick up the phone, use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers can anywhere you're catching across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we also welcome those of you listening on replay as well by Amazon Music and the iRadio Podcast Network, among other places. And by the way, if you're shy about using the phone when you want to communicate with us, use our chat room, ready for you. SimonApple04 is the name, and you'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Well, once again, it's become a looks like a tradition that every episode we bring you at least one of the new programming services that are now coming your way through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And today's entry is a very interesting one. You could call it like a wide, wide world potpourri. It's called Video Elephant TV. And here to talk about it is the overseer of that network live from Los Angeles, Stacey Anthony. Hello, Stacey.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. How are things out there in La La Land?
Beautiful as always. Gorgeous weather as well.
So with all that out of the way, what's been happening in your first few weeks with Video Elephant TV?
Yeah, so we just recently launched Video Elephant TV, a new free TV streaming app that's available worldwide. We are also available to download on the usual suspects, so Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, iOS, Android. You can even get it on desktop and mobile web. It features over, 200 award-winning global news brands, everything from Euronews to PA Media, Sports Illustrated, Tribune, Al Jazeera, AccuWeather, and even digital native content like WatchMojo. And we also have over 60 channels of content to watch, or if you want to binge your favorite news, entertainment, lifestyle, or sports content, you can also find that all on demand.
Now, is this a multi-channel service? In other words, you run all these channels 24/7, or do you, let's say, piggyback some of the individual features or segments of these services and string them all short-form style into one channel?
So all of our content is short-form content, and it's a mix of, partner-branded channels. So Euronews, for instance, has its own channel. And then we also have Video Elephant-branded channels. So this is where we aggregate a bunch of short-form clips, the best of the best of the day. And it's you can stream it 24 hours. It's constantly being refreshed.
Mm-hmm. And what are the channels devoted to? How are they separated?
I'm sorry?
How are the channels separate, the Video Elephant channel specifically? What topics are there? Like, this is this, another one's that, a third, yeah. And so forth.
Yeah, so if you're scrolling through the channel guide, you'll see a variety of topics. So you have everything from world news to even local, national, U.S. news, entertainment, celebrity content, just pure fun entertainment, comedy, lifestyle content, everything from cooking to DIY, fashion. You have your sports news and updates, and then gaming is a huge genre in this industry. And then we also have something that's very unique to us, something that differentiates us from a lot of the other streaming services, is we also have a variety of channels, whether it's news channels or lifestyle entertainment, that are in Spanish, French, German, Italian, Arabic, Portuguese, Russian. So, we're really a worldwide service. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're a super fan of, you can find it.
How did you come up with the idea of this, like, wide, wide world of television channels all in one space?
So, you know, I've worked in streaming since it's pretty much inception. And the one thing that a lot of TV streaming services struggle with is not having worldwide rights to content. So to me, with this product, and especially in regards to Video Elephant's core business as an aggregator and distributor of premium content worldwide, it was so important for me to have something that was global. You know, we've seen like the surge in TV streaming in other places outside of North America in, you know, just the past year, like in Brazil and in Latin America, and now in the UK with Roku UK just launching earlier this year. So, you know, it's something that is expanding now globally.
Stay on that thought, because as I've mentioned over and over again these last couple of months, we are seeing this incredible tidal wave. And it's not just a surging, it's a tidal wave of new programming services here in the United States, mm-hmm. put together in many cases by independent players like yourself, put together in some cases by people of color and women, that are running on smart sets and smart TV devices. And are you saying that we are seeing that same surge in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and other places around the world?
Yeah, it's truly amazing, because this really was a very North America phenomenon in the very beginning. And it is. It's spreading globally. I think that, you know, it's as being in this industry, you know, we always have to stay on the pulse of how our audience or our users are consuming content. And it's now popular pretty much all around the world. I see this expanding increasingly over the next, you know, few months. I mean, this industry just grows so rapidly. I mean, you've seen that with how many TV streaming apps there already are here.
Why do you think we are seeing this this year? I mean, we had little bits and pieces over the last couple of years as smart TV sets have grown here in the United States to the point where now over 80%, the vast majority of people who have a household have these sets or these devices like Roku and Amazon Fire and Portal TV and so on. We had services like CuriosityStream. We had other services, sort of the early players, along with the Netflix, the Hulus, and the Amazons. Then we'd had these mega programming services, I like to call them, like Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus over the last year. But now we're seeing this incredible surge of some are niche, some are general entertainment, some are aimed at specific audiences. Many are scripted, some are unscripted, some are both. It just is an incredible wave of energy and creativity.
Yeah, you know, I think in the very beginning, historically, they were popular because of financial burdens of being with a major cable provider. So, you know, we saw this whole idea of becoming a cord cutter or a cord maybe. And I think now it's become even increasingly more popular, I think, for a variety of reasons. I think accessibility to content. You're able to choose what you want to watch, you know, and very hyper-customize it in a way. You know, if you're a big on-demand movie junkie, you know, you might go to Netflix. Or if you are a big fan of NBC, you can now go to Peacock, for instance. Or if you're a big world news fan, you can come to the Video Elephant TV. I also think that with the current events, you know, with the pandemic and everything and everyone being home, there's so much more time to consume content. I mean, we can't really do much besides take a walk or watch TV, so it's a good time to be in the TV streaming space, for sure.
The service we're talking about is Video Elephant TV. Started earlier this month and now is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices with programming from all over the world, largely unscripted. And we're talking to the overseer of the service, Stacey Anthony. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smartly Televised. Her official title, by the way, is TV head of over the top, I call it smart TV. I don't use the term over the top, by the way, so you know, ventures. And she's with us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Star Anne Marie Rod from New York. Delighted you're with us on this Friday afternoon. It is absolutely a fantastic day. Lots of great blue sky, lots of great clouds, at least where we are in the New Mission. By the way, we want to wish everybody down in Louisiana and the area of that hurricane now in a category 3, I understand. That may be hitting in the next 48 hours. So for those of you that may be listening to us in that area, if you need to get out to higher ground, do it. Don't wait for the last minute. that I understand this hurricane is a big one, and it's got a lot of power. That's why it's a Category 3. So do whatever you need to do it, and stay in tune to Blog Talk Radio, to Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, to your local TV stations, the Weather Channel, et cetera, for all of this information. It definitely can be a lifesaver for you. If you have a question or comment for Stacey, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple04 by name. Stacey, how did you come together with Video Elephant? How did this whole enterprise get going?
So prior to joining Video Elephant, you know, I was with Comcast and I launched their first TV streaming app, Watchable. And then after that, I moved over to Sinclair Broadcasting Group, where I was editor-in-chief of STIR and launched their TV streaming app, STIR. So I naturally was introduced to Video Elephant, and, you know, we started talking about how we could take their content that they already have and create this over-the-top service. It came out of many discussions. So for those who are not familiar with Video Elephant, their core business is as an aggregator and distributor of, you know, premium content to mostly digital out-of-home or web publishers. And we had partners coming to us saying, hey, can we get some content so we can fill out our linear channels, our 24/7 channels? And it got us thinking, like, we should have our own Video Elephant branded channels. And then it kind of evolved to, why don't we have this global app? So with any kind of startup in any kind of business, it's a very small idea that turns into a major project. And this one, like I said, is worldwide, which is something new for me too.
Mm-hmm. Earlier today, I did an interview for Media Village for an upcoming column with Adam Ware, who is the Sinclair executive behind STIR. We've done a number of columns about it over the last 2 years, now in their second year, about to go into their third in January. And I have to say, STIR is a very, it's one of the, what we call multi-channel packages, like Video Elephant, that is available through smart tech devices, like Tubi, Fubo TV, which just went on the New York Stock Exchange, et cetera, et cetera. How did the STIR experience for you work well in getting Video Elephant TV started? What did you learn from that that you put into this?
Yeah, so, you know, my background has always been in news in some sort of fashion. So, you know, working with Adam at STIR was incredible, too, because I was there when, you know, we were just given a couple pieces of paper to see what the app would look like. And, you know, I learned a lot from Adam, especially when it comes to 24/7 programming and scheduling. And so a lot of that knowledge I also applied to how we program, you know, linear channels in the digital space. I mean, you know, we not necessarily are in the business of day parting and all of that sort of a thing, but the same kind of structure and the planning and the scheduling. It was, you know, from with every opportunity that you work on, you always have learnings that you take, whether they're good or bad, and apply it to your next project, you know, so.
When people connect, Stacey, with Video Elephant TV, do they pay a monthly fee for it, or is it ad-supported? And if it is ad-supported, how are you doing so far in terms of attracting sponsors?
Yeah, so it is a free service, so it's AVOD. It's all ad-supported. You know, we just launched, so, you know, we're still even figuring out what's working and what's not working. So when it comes to monetizations, you know, there's still going to be a lot of learnings in the months ahead, for sure. But the response all around, whether it's from a brand or a partner or even just a consumer, has been amazing. So we're really excited about the buzz that it's created. We're also very excited about taking Video Elephant and expanding the business as a whole into the OTT world.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into those feature plans shortly. But first, in your first few weeks, what is the audience telling you about what they are watching and why?
You know, it's news, news, and news. And I think, again, that just goes into where the current state of the world is right now. You know, and I think it's really great that we're able to offer multiple perspectives on things like COVID and even the elections here in the state and getting a different point of view from, you know, different news organizations around the world. Because, you know, even though we're here in the United States, our news is very North America-centric. You know, we do cover obviously global news, but not from their perspective. So that's been really interesting to see. But yeah, right now it's a lot of news and actually a lot of comedy. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand. So a lot of the digital native or web content that we have on the platform, I think that, you know, they'll watch their news and then they want to go watch something to, you know, brighten the mood a little bit. So that's what we're seeing currently.
Is it the like an established service like Euronews, which does basically straight down the middle newscasting, or are they going toward, let's say, more of the services that have been started over the last decade, like Newsy from Scripps, more recently LX from NBC Universal, which is presenting news that is aimed at a particular audience, Gen Z, Gen X, Gen Y, millennials?
Yeah, I mean, we will be, you know, we're always going to be expanding our offering. So we currently do have, you know, Newsy on the platform, just not as a channel quite yet. We do have their, you know, VOD. We do have, you know, content, whether it's news, entertainment, lifestyle, or sports, that come from, that is very diverse. So diverse even within, you know, the United States and then also globally. You know, our demo, we're trying to appeal to everyone. So it's really important for us, even from a diversity factor, to have a very fluid and substantial offering to provide users.
Given the wide scope of services you can put on, how do you determine what to put on? What kind of vetting do you take place? How does rights determine what you can get? And you try to go for independent player programming, whether it is in the news or the lifestyle or other genres.
Yeah, you know, when you're in the very beginning stages of launching an app, you know, you're in the thrall, like you're in the mix of building what your editorial and programming strategy is. So it's actually a really excited time to, you know, throw something up against the wall and see if it sticks. And then take your learnings from that to decide what kind of programming is really resonating with your audience. Again, there's so much clutter in the space that, you know, to us, it was more important to lean into a lot of our international content. And then also, you know, our premium brands. Because if you're a super fan of, you know, AccuWeather or even Al Jazeera or whatever your passion is, you know, we wanted to be able to surface that. You know, we have over 1 million videos on our app. So there is not a lack of content at this point. But the next, like I said, the next couple months are going to be really telling to see what resonates with our audience. And then, you know, we'll obviously pivot our editorial and programming strategy as needed from there. But this is the fun part. This is the time where you get to experiment.
You mentioned Stir before, and one of the unique features is a service called Stir City, where you see a channel that showcases live local newscasts in your area, and then a number of unique shows that are targeted to your area from different sources, as well as the ability to see syndicated shows that the local station, in this case the Sinclair station, may have. There's another service that just started about 2 months ago called View It, which is calling itself the Netflix of live, local, and free, which allows local stations around the country to produce content in their areas, whether it's parade coverage or it's a major sports event in their area or some sort of a local play, and be able to get national exposure. Is that something Video Elephant is looking at, the ability to bring local material on the station level or from an independent programmer into your mix?
You know, that's really a Stir specialty. And, you know, they did a really great job leaning into their local news and their locally produced news. I think with Video Elephant, since we're considering ourselves more of a global brand, that we won't be as hyper-local as Stir will be. We do offer local national news, so that can mean anything anywhere you are in the world. So live, you know, you can have local news here in North America, you can have local news in Spain, you can have local news in Brazil. So we are more on the global scope of it. And I think that that's where we'll remain for the foreseeable future.
Video Elephant Television, one of the newest services in the growing tidal wave of programming portion of Boeing Ventures, they're available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, whether it's TV sets from Samsung, Vizio, LG, Hisense, etc., and of course the devices such as NVIDIA Shield, Portal TV from Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire, Google Chromecast, Google TV, etc., etc. We've got Stacey Anthony, who is the overseer of Video Elephant TV and is carrying Video Elephant. And she's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you have a question or comment or remaining moments with Stacey, be involved. Call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, our next episode is Columbus Day. We are live for another 90 minutes. Coming your way, the executive producers from the new version of Supermarket Sweep premiering next Sunday night on ABC with Leslie Jones as the host, Alicia Rossiter, and Wes Comel. They will be our lead guests. Plus, former network executive, now strategist and researcher Steve LeBlanc. He's working with, among others, the revival of Thought Leaders One Day at a Time. And from the new service, VON.TV, inspired by popular Chicago talk radio station WVON, well, the chairman and chief executive officer of the company that puts it together, Midway Broadcasting, will go live to Windy City and speak with Melody Cooper. That's all coming up on Columbus Day, live this Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Don't miss it. It's right here in exclusive on Tomorrow Be Televised. So from here, Stacey, where do you see Video Elephant expanding? Which way do you want to go?
You know, we are we obviously want to expand our distribution. So we're currently looking at, you know, a presence on smart TVs, you know, MVPDs, so cable providers, that sort of a thing. So that's really next step in our business model is to expand distribution, even on smart TVs and MVPDs around the world as well. So that's where we're going from a business perspective, because we want to be available everywhere. You know, everyone always says watch anytime, anywhere. We really want to be everywhere. So that's our main goal. I also think that our content offering will obviously evolve over the next couple of months as well. You know, we are going to be announcing shortly additional channels from big, big brands out there, as well as, you know, more VOD from premium brands. So it's going to be really your one-stop shop for all things short-form entertainment and news and lifestyle and sports. So.
Do you see a role for you obviously see a role, a big role for news programming or lifestyle programming. What about scripted programming or genre television? Do you see a dip into that realm?
You know, we really want to be the short form destination. We want it to be the place where you come to get your quick hits, your, you know, snackable content, that kind of experience. Are we opposed to mid-form content? Absolutely not. We do have quite a bit of mid-form when it comes to scripted content and longer-form content. You know, anything is possible, but it's not on the horizon right now.
Coincidentally, Stacey, how do you define short-form in terms of minutes? What is it, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, half hour? What do we say is short-form?
Yeah, I mean, short-form, you know, is usually, you know, maxes out around, like, you know, 5 minutes, about 4 or 5 minutes. And then when you talk about mid-form content, you know, that's your, you know, anything between like 10 and 18 minutes. And then you go into traditional programming. So that's when we talk about, you know, our 30-minute episodes and our 60-minute episodes. But that's pretty much how we scale it, you know, give or take a little bit. So don't hold me to those exact numbers, but that's how we scale it internally.
Yeah. And finally, do you see a role for interactivity in some form, whether it's interactive content or interactive advertising or the ability to order products and services while people are watching the short form?
You know, that's a really interesting concept. And actually, the app developers who we worked with, Actionista, they actually built the QVC app, which is very much that you can buy while watching. So, you know, anything is possible at this point, but, you know, we would also need to have the programming that is aligned with that kind of experience. So I know Instagram just recently launched their in-app shopping experience. I have yet to do it. I don't know if you have. But I think with our programming and our strategy, I don't know if it's necessarily a natural fit. I think it needs to be an organic, natural fit for something like that.
And like you said, you never know.
We're
just at the beginning of an amazing decade, and we have 9-plus more years to go. So you never know what could pop up between now and 2030, or even earlier. We will
exactly.
See. The name of the service is called... You got it. The name of the service is called Video Elephant TV. It's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And for more details about the service online, here's where you go, videoelephant.com. It's Video Elephant, all one word. By the way, why do you call it an elephant? I'm just curious what inspired that name.
An And I hate to correct you, but it's actually videoelephant.tv. So not .com, videoelephant.tv. The elephant, you know, we like to call him Vinny internally. And I think it was, you know, our CEO and our founders' affinity and love of elephants. And look, hey, we have a huge, 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 massive library of content. So it's only natural that we can compare it to an elephant or a Vinny.
Why not? If it works, it works. And again, the website to find out more about Video Elephant TV is videoelephant.tv. We sit corrected. You'll just have to take my word for it. Stacey Anthony from Video Elephant TV, thanks again for joining us. Congratulations on the start of your service and hopefully the beginning of a great, great big run in this expanding world of smart TV and set and devices through the Promi services. Pleasure to have you aboard. Have a fantastic weekend where you are.
Thank you. You too.
Will do. Take care. Stacey Anthony from Video Elephant TV joining us live from Los Angeles. And now before we leave you for this Friday and week, it's time for our regular feature, Show to Know. We have a program that is worth your while. It's worth watching. You might not know about it because it is maybe not well marketed or promoted or publicized where you are or falls under the radar screen of critics and journalists. Our Show to Know this time around just started on Hulu, part of their annual Huluween campaign. Yes, it's a very spooky deal, but don't be fooled by it. Because there's a lot to say about where we're living right now, even the U.S. of A. It's called Monsterland. It's an anthology series where every episode takes place in a different corner of these United States. It's from a talented new writer named Mary Laws, and it is very, very well acted, produced, and directed, according to critics who have seen it. As I said, Monsterland takes place, each episode, in a different side of the United States. And as it turns out, when you watch the episodes, the monster is not always the spook, the ghost, the vampire, the wolf, etc. It might just be the demon inside all of us. And that gives you, I think, a good clue as to what you can find on it. And it's getting very, very good reviews by critics who have seen it for the way it is put together. And I have a hunch that Monsterland is going to be a very exciting new anthology scene for Hulu. Again, the show is called Monsterland. Mary Laws is the talent behind it, and I know you will hear a lot more from her. And you can catch it right now as part of Huluween, the annual Festival of Halloween programming on Hulu. For more details online, go to Hulu.com, www.hulu.com. And if you have an idea for a show to know, we want to hear it. If we use it, you get the credit. So do it. Find apple04@yahoo.com or find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. Thanks to all our guests for being here today and this week. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Once again, coming up on our show on Monday, Columbus Day, we'll have Alicia Rossiter and Wes Coble from Supermarket Sweep on ABC, strategist and researcher Steve LeBlanc, and from Midway Broadcasting, the home of brand new plumbing service WVON-TV, we'll have Chair and CEO Melody Cooper. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up as soon as you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast available on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Apple TV, and other places. And we'd love to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and on LinkedIn. Because we want to hear from you, and I do respond within 24 hours, because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program, those of the participants, not only those of Block Talk Radio, and the this program. Our production associate, BTR Mandolin, Andy Toe is BTR's general manager, Jay Sonberg is head of content, and the co-founders are Al Levy and Bob Sharish. So while we tell you about brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division, remember, Audible transform the way you hear the world. But while we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Thank you for listening. We are back on Columbus Day Monday, live, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to be now and then, please make it safe, make it great. Those of you in the area that hurricane, if you need to go to higher ground, do. Stay in touch with local authorities and local media, and they'll get you out of danger. And have you be with us on Monday. And again, whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And let's lift this pandemic now more than ever. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.